This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
The Education Committee was a little remiss in getting its work done on time, and so we're starting a little later than usual. I would remind those of you testifying before the committee this morning, please make sure that you use our sign-in sheet if you choose to testify. If you are representing someone other than yourself, please make sure you have the appropriate badge on your lapel or dress, or we will reprimand you appropriately and ask you to go get that accomplished. If you could take a moment and silence your electronic device, whatever form you may have. This year we are requesting that offenders of our noise policy make a contribution to the Wounded Warrior Project at an amount to be determined by the chair should such a violation occur. We'll ask Ms. Lois to call the roll for us.
Senators Bradford.
Here.
Hager.
Here.
Nordstrup.
Here.
Sharma.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Curd.
Here.
There is a quorum.
Quorum exists for Senate Commerce and Energy. We'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
Second.
Motion to approve the minutes by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Hagar. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. I have a fairly full calendar today. My understanding is that Senator Olson has requested that one of her bills not be heard today. That's Senate Bill 61, so we'll strike that from our agenda. Please make a notation of that. If you're here for Senate Bill 61, I apologize. It won't be heard today. Will it be heard at all? Senate Bill 61 will never be heard or see the light of day again.
Never.
There's a raucous level of applause going up in the room for the disappearance of Senate Bill 61. First Senate bill we'll consider today is number 57, redefine the term written agreement relating to contracts between a debtor and creditor. Anyone that would wish to testify as a proponent for Senate Bill 57, welcome Senator White.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the committee for allowing us to come before you today. I bring before you a bill today that redefines the term written agreement relating to contracts between a debtor and a creditor. I'm Jim White. I'm from District 22 of Huron and have been in the banking business pretty much all my life, so this is something near and dear to my background. I'm bringing SB 57 before you today on behalf of South Dakota's banking industry. While most of the activities of our banking institutions are governed by Title 51A, of South Dakota codified laws, there are a few sections in Title 54, our general debtor and creditor title, that do impact contracts between all creditors and debtors, including banks. This aim of this bill is simply to modernization the term written agreement. Others more familiar with this subject are here to explain the what and why of this bill. I would simply ask for the committee support SB 57 and will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator White. Further individuals who would like to testify in proponent form for Senate Bill 57. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Commerce Committee. My name is Kurt Everson, representing the South Dakota Bankers Association. I think this bill is probably one of the simplest bills that you may see this session. It simply states, as you can read on the bill itself, that in the case of written contracts between debtors and creditors as governed by Chapter 54.3, we're going to redefine a written agreement to make sure that that document could be is in writing, whether it's in physical or electronic form, and in which the parties have demonstrated their agreement to the terms and conditions of an extension of credit, including the rate of interest. The reason that we're bringing this bill this year is because the business of executing loan agreements, especially credit card agreements, is largely done electronically in today's world. Consumers shop online for credit. They apply online, and approvals are granted the same way online. And so we decided in looking at the code that it was time to update this section of 54.3 to reflect what's current business practice. So that's the sum and substance of the bill, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'd respectfully ask your support of Senate Bill 57 and would certainly stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Everson. Any further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 57, and to take the opportunity to educate our members, Senator Sharma, you may not have heard this yet, but anytime someone pitches you a bill as a proponent and says it's probably the simplest bill you'll see the entire session, you ought to pay attention.
And then the next thing you hear is me too. Hi, I'm Dean Krogman. Represent the Independent Community Bankers of South Dakota, and we are in agreement with this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 57 this morning. Seeing no one to rise, are there anyone in attendance that would wish to testify in opposition to Senate Bill 57 this morning? Seeing no opposition testimony, questions, comments, concerns, or actions by the Senate Committee on Commerce and Energy, Senate Bill 57, Senator Bradford.
Thank you. I have a question of the Mr. Chair, and I have a question of one of the, and just a comment first that, you know, what do you consider five bankers in the bottom of the ocean? That's a good start, but I wondered, and I realized.
Is that a question?
No, I said a privilege of a comment first. Now the question is, of course you're speaking to an elder here, so be careful how you respond. For instance, I've signed many notes in my life and gone into the bank and faced a man in the back. But to do a note that had any, power electronically, I wouldn't even begin to know how you could validate. I know that when I go in and sign on something like this, how is that a viable document when you don't have that actual?
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, please.
I guess how I visualize the electronic execution of a loan agreement is, let's say, for example, you've applied for either a credit card, a home equity loan, some other kind of loan, and you've submitted an application online to the bank that you want to borrow the money from. The bank's going to take a look at your ability to repay, because they need to do that to assure that whatever money you borrow is going to get paid back to the best of their ability. They're gonna look through that, and they're gonna, again, in an electronic world, they would probably send you, and maybe it's an email, maybe some other kind of electronic communication. But embedded in that email, let's say, is going to be a fairly lengthy document. It's going to be depict the loan agreement, the same kind of loan agreement that you would sign if you physically went into the bank. But you're going to scroll through it on your email, and at the bottom of it, at some point, you're going to see a button that says, "I accept the terms and conditions of this agreement." Either if you don't accept them, then you don't, you know, the loan's not made, you're not obligated to repay it. If you say, "I accept," electronically, that essentially is your signature, that's your agreement to the terms and conditions of the loan. So that's how I see it working, Senator. I'm a little younger than you, but I'm still kind of old school in that regard, and I'm kind of a little bit averse to those kinds of electronic documents as well, although we do that. We accept those kinds of agreements in other ways all the time as we're dealing in this world of e-commerce. But the content of that loan agreement that you're going to get online is going to have the content of that's going to be driven by a whole another series of federal statutes, federal regulations, the Truth in Lending Act, the Credit Card Act, Regulation Z, which is the regulation that implements all that. All those agreements are going to have to be compliant with those federal statutes and any state laws that apply. So it's just a different way of doing business. The content of the documents is going to be essentially the same as whether paper or electronic. Long answer. Sorry, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Yerson. I think in most of those agreements, it's also within the person requesting said agreement to have a paper copy, either mailed to them by post or they can usually download it. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive events.
No.
Is that accurate?
I would say so, Mr. Chairman, yes.
Senator Sutton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Everson. I think it's kind of along the same lines of what Senator Bradford was getting at, that so in your mind, the way you look at it is that checking that box or some kind of e-signature accounts for what is listed here as that the parties have demonstrated their agreement. And so the checking the box would count as a demonstration of that agreement.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Senator Sutton.
Further questions by the committee for Mr. Everson or Senator White? If not, is there committee action for Senate Bill 57?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
Second.
Senator Greenfield has motioned a do pass motion for Senate Bill 57, seconded by Senator Sharma. Comments on your motion, Senator Greenfield?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the days leading up to this bill hearing, you know, we had the opportunity to visit with some of the interested parties, and it really is a simple bill, just trying to make a clarification as to what qualifies as a written agreement. So with that, I urge your support. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator Greenfield. Senator Sharma, any comments?
I think changing this to bring us up to date to 2010 is probably appropriate.
Thank you, Senator Sharma. Seeing no further comments, those in favor of Senate Bill 57, do pass motion by Senator Greenfield, will signify by saying aye. Those opposed will say root beer. Seeing if you're all paying attention this morning, we'll say nay. Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Senator Nordstrom.
Aye.
Sharma.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Yeah, vote is
unanimous. Vote is unanimous for Senate Bill 57's do pass motion.
I'll move consent.
Senator Greenfield has moved consent for Senate Bill 57. Seconded by Senator Nostrup. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Senate Bill 57 will be placed on the consent calendar. Thank you. Next up for consideration is Senate Bill 60. Mr. Krogman, it's the Wounded Warrior Project for cell phones.
What?
Wounded Warrior Project for cell phones going off in committee. I was just making a comment.
Based on the number of people present.
And Mr. Teason is suggesting it's $10 a head that's in the committee room. So, Senate Bill 60, an act to set daylight savings time as the permanent year-round time for the state of South Dakota. Proponent testimony. Welcome, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm doing something a little unique that's probably never happened in here before. I want to take a vote on how many of the members prefer daylight savings time and how many prefer standard time. If you prefer daylight savings time, raise your hand. One, two. Okay, if you prefer standard time, raise your hand. Well, I guess daylight has it.
I'm a big fan of Pacific Standard Time. You didn't give me that option, so I was waiting.
Well, I had an amendment drawn up that I will not offer, that if everybody preferred standard time, I would change the bill. But as it is, I'm bringing this bill because I and a whole lot of my neighbors are darn sick of changing our clocks every year, twice a year, and then having to adjust our lives around the time change. I prefer standard time, but my husband prefers daylight savings time, like a majority here. So as a compromise with our marriage, I brought this as leaving daylight savings time in effect year around. Now, Arizona has standard time year-round. They never have to change their clocks down there. It doesn't affect their lives at all. And I don't see that this would affect our lives here. But I am just so sick of changing every year. So that's why I'm bringing the bill. This isn't even a constituent bill, although a lot of my constituents are very much in favor.
I think your husband qualifies as a constituent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he does.
Thank you very much.
That's all I have
further
to say.
Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 60. Seeing no further proponents, is there anyone that would wish to testify in opposition to Senate Bill 60 this morning? Seeing no opposition testimony, are there committee questions, comments, or actions that would like to be undertaken for Senate Bill 60 as it sits before the committee this morning? Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to move due pass.
Senator Greenfield moves due pass for Senate Bill 60. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Sutton. Comments on your due pass motion, Senator Greenfield.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank the senator for bringing this forward. This is something that has been addressed with me a number of times over the years. A number of times. Interesting choice of words. But a lot of people don't understand why we turn our clocks forward and then turn our clocks back. We gain, the net effect is zero. We gain no more hours of daylight. It just happens that the sun rises or sets arbitrarily at a different time. So I don't see the harm. I don't see the harm in bringing this issue to the floor for further discussion. There really should be no stinging opposition. The times have changed, too, incidentally, since yeah, there it is again. Since the inception of daylight savings time, we are a much more modern civilization, and I think we could probably adjust to such a bold change as is being promoted here. So with that, I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Greenfield. Further comments on the due pass motion for Senate Bill 60? Senator Bradford.
Well, I spent my life, well, went to school in one time and got up in another time zone. And every single day, I'd get up at 8 o'clock and go to work. It was already 9. So, but I'm not sure that daylight savings times is what my people want one time. But I'm not exactly sure that they don't want standard time. If we were on standard time, I think they'd want it. But since we're on daylight savings times, I guess that's probably what they want. But most people want one time. Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. Further comments on the due pass motion for Senate Bill 60? So I understand it, then South Dakota would be in a permanently sprung forward state. Is that right, Senator Olson? That's my question.
Yes, it would. And I would also make a comment. You know, it's called daylight savings time. Where are they saving all that daylight that we've been saving for years? There must be quite a storage someplace.
Well, I think we give it back in the fall every year. So, further comments on the due pass motion for Senate Bill 60?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also point out that this is a bit of a problem for those businesses that operate 24 hours a day. It creates a question as to what you're going to do to adjust to ensure that everybody gets their 8 hours a day, everybody gets their 40 hours a week. Are you going to change the time at which people come in or what have you? So I do know that it has posed problems for a number of businesses. So, again, I thank the senator for bringing this forward. And, again, I encourage your support. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, if I understand it correct, by the time that this law would go into effect, should it pass through the Senate floor, House committee on the House floor and then be signed by our governor, we'd already be sprung forward. So unfortunately, you'd have one more clock change in your future, I think, coming up, perhaps in the spring. So if you didn't want to change your clock, perhaps you could have just put us on standard time. Then it'd be done. That being said, the motion before the Senate Commerce Committee is Senator Greenfield's do pass motion for Senate Bill 60. Lois?
Senator Sutton.
Aye.
Sharma.
Nay.
Bradford.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
No.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Kurd.
Aye.
Five yes, two no.
Senate Bill 60 has received a 5-2 vote and has passed the do-pass motion for Senator Greenfield. Next item on the Senate Commerce and Energy Committee this morning is Senate Bill 62, an act entitled to require manufacturers of farm machinery and equipment to replace the machinery or equipment or to refund its purchase price if it fails to conform to the manufacturer's warranty, to specify the manufacturer's obligations to remedy any non-conforming conditions, and to provide cause of action against the manufacturer for failure to comply. This morning we'll have some telephone testimony from an individual that would like to appear before the Commerce Committee but cannot because he's busy tending to his livestock, is my understanding. We do have also some folks that would like to testify in opposition. We're going to hold opposition testimony until Thursday, so this bill will be up two separate times. So final action on Senate Bill 62 is contemplated to be at the Commerce Committee meeting on Thursday morning. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 62. Welcome back, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a problem that one of my constituents up in my area had, and I didn't know there was such a problem. The lemon laws for your vehicles that you buy have been in effect for a long time, but I didn't realize we didn't have lemon laws for farm machinery until I heard from him. So I brought this bill, which is been in effect in some other states, and I will just stand by and let him tell you everything that happened, and if you have any questions, he can probably answer them better than I can, but thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Tom, and thanks, Betty, for sponsoring this bill. Kind of the story up here is my wife and I run a custom haying operation, and we'd done that for quite a few years, and we finally decided to upgrade to a more modern, quite a bit more expensive machine to cut hay. So we went to looking around for something that we thought would work, and it's quite an investment, upwards of $150,000 when we found the machine that we decided to purchase. And we even upgraded the operating system to where it was a hands-free auto steer. And the we got the machine, and we went to first time to use it in the spring, and the I'd say within 5 minutes of operation it broke down. And so we had them come up, fix the machine. The technician was quite a bit less than qualified, but that's another issue. And how the haying situation works, I'm sure some of you are familiar with that, is you have about 3, possibly 4 months for a haying season up in this area. And we just needed to maximize our efficiency and productivity. Well, what ended up happening is this machine was just constantly breaking down for about 2 weeks, and they didn't bring us any other machine. We were just required to deal with it, and they'd send up a technician whenever it broke down, and the auto steer never worked. So we just kind of put up with it, and were less than efficient using this other little machine, and we got to, I think it was about the 3rd of July, and My wife was using it to cut about 75 miles from our ranch, and she calls me up, and she says that it's pouring diesel fuel out. And it's about a 180-gallon tank on that machine, and the fuel gauge didn't work, so we had to keep the tank full all the time. So I tell her, well, she's 6 months pregnant. I tell her just to pop under there and see if she can figure out where it's leaking and try to stuff some rags in the hole, because we obviously don't want 100-plus gallons of diesel draining onto the customer's property. And I, at that point, I call the dealership, and I tell them, well, in the process of that, she gets soaked with diesel fuel, which was very upsetting. And so I call the dealership, and I tell them that I've had enough. They can come pick up their machine. And they say, oh, well, that's not possible. I said, sure it is. I said, if any one of you go down to the store and you buy a machine, whether it's a vacuum cleaner or a countertop mixer, and it performs not even less than your expectations, it doesn't perform at all, you're going to take that thing right back to the store and return it. And I said, I expect the same thing for this because it's worthless. And they said, oh, well, this is a much more expensive machine, so we can't do that. And my reaction was, well, that should be all the more reason to do it. Because the machine comes with a one-year warranty, so basically it's a 3 to 4 month warranty for the first hay-in season. And it was just going to be in warranty repair for the whole first season, so we weren't even going to be able to utilize any additional warranty or use out of it. And so it wound up going into, they made false promises and lies, and it was just a big mess. And then it wound up going, we had to get an attorney, and it wound up going into litigation. And we finally got him to take the machine back after it was over a year. And we, after discovering that these lemon laws were just for the automotive industry and not the farming industry, it just kind of made us, hopefully we never have to go through this again, but it made us want to have something out there that made it possible for farmer, rancher people to have an opportunity just to not have to go to court and deal with all these lawyers and corporate lawyers and so forth to try to get some justification for these machines. Because it's we're too busy to deal with that for one thing, but the having the dealership and the corporation not take any responsibility for a machine that is just complete lemon just seems unacceptable.
Mr. Fabris, it's Blake Curd. My question, just briefly to clarify for the committee and those in attendance, when you said they finally took it back, was that the dealer or was that the manufacturer that you referred to when you said they took it back, the haying machine?
Well, it was that the dealer came and picked up the machine, and it was kind of, I don't know what their whole financial deal was. We got the money back, obviously, and I don't know how they worked it out between the dealership and the corporation. But I know that was a big source of contention and argument for a long time, because the dealership felt that they shouldn't take responsibility for it if it was a lemon, and the corporation thought that the dealership was not being productive enough with a warranty agreement and technician and repair in the field.
Okay, so you thought you bought a haying machine and you had a hot potato. That's what you're telling us, huh?
Exactly. Okay. And it, you know, we were planning on cutting 1,000 acres in the first week with it. We wound up cutting, I think it was less than 200, and it was just broken down the rest of the time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Fabris. Any further comments?
No, I don't believe so.
If you could hang on the line in case there are members of the committee that have questions for you, that would be terrific. Any further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 62? Seeing no further proponent testimony in attendance, is there anyone in attendance that would like to testify in opposition to Senate Bill 62? Seeing none, are there any committee questions for Senator Olson or Mr. Fabris? Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the senator, I believe. Senator Olson, when you were drafting this legislation, working with LRC to do so, to what extent did you pattern this after existing statute relative to our lemon laws for automobiles?
We compared it more to the lemon laws in other states because it really didn't relate to your Cadillac breaks down and doesn't work. This had to be specific as to farm machinery, whether it's self-propelled or you pull it by another vehicle. So it's based on laws that have been passed regarding farm machinery in other states.
Thank you, Senator Olson. I didn't know Senator Greenfield had a Cadillac, but thank you for letting us know that.
You bet I do.
Senator Sutton, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, thank you, Senator. Are there states surrounding us that have similar law to this then, or what state specifically was this modeled after?
I can't remember which state it was. We had Fred Botts in LRC wrote it up, and I thought maybe he was going to be in this committee today so we could ask him, but I don't remember.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Sutton. Any further questions of the proponent testimony for Senate Bill 62 this morning? Seeing none, Senator Bedford, I'm sorry, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And from what I gathered, but I'll ask you this, is he did get his money back. Is that true?
I think it is. I think that's what he testified. He's still on the phone. We could ask him.
Sure. Mr. Fabris, could you comment? Senator Bradford was curious whether you actually received a refund for the piece of equipment you bought after the process you articulated to the committee this morning.
Yes, we did.
Thank you. Well, what, and I assume that he got, it probably cost him something to get an attorney or something, but it, off of that line is that what, I don't quite understand what we're magnifying here, because we're talking about a warranty, and we already assume that in our laws that when you buy something, if the warranty isn't abided by, you have you can go to the consumer protection or whatever. So, are we adding to what's already, do you know?
If I could rephrase the question, you tell me if I have it right here. You think the rights that Mr. Fabris is seeking already exist in current law, and that this proposed lemon law that Senator Olson brings before us doesn't add anything over and above what already exists in statute? Is that your question?
That's
Senator Olson, do you want to comment?
I really can't comment on that, but Mr. Fabris can, and he can also tell you how much it cost him to pay for his lawyer.
Mr. Fabris, if you'd like to comment on why you believe that an additional law needs to be placed, a lemon law for farm machinery, please feel free to do so. You're also free to reveal to the committee the cost for the process you went through versus the cost of the equipment, but I don't feel you're compelled to do that. It's a private matter to me, and I don't think we necessarily need to hear it.
Okay. Yeah, the reason being is I kind of mentioned earlier about the machine coming with a one-year warranty, and that basically covers about a 3 or 4 month window of usage in the first year, so of a hay season. So we were going to wind up having this machine and it was going to be under warranty repair for the whole, basically, at least the first half of the paying season. So it seems to me that if a machine is being is constantly broke down, that it's a lemon. And they should either replace the machine or refund your money. Because it's beyond, if you can't use it, it just seems that warranty isn't even the issue. It's unusable. And as far as the cost of the attorney, is very expensive, as I'm sure you can probably imagine. I guess I don't really want to reveal how much it was, but
it's two.
It was just agonizing, and the fact that it went on for a whole year was even just made it worse. So what we want to accomplish here is when somebody goes out and buys a machine like this, if it's constantly broke down and doesn't perform, it's a lemon, and they need to either refund the money or swap the machine.
Thank you, Mr. Fabris. I think Senator Bradford might have an additional question for you.
Okay.
I you know, my question really was that in the bill itself, it is only demanding that we do something if it doesn't conform to its warranty. And you would, I guess my question is, do you feel that with this bill you would eliminate having to hire a lawyer? That's my question. Is,
well, I believe the dealerships or the corporation could get a lawyer even if this bill is passed. I mean, that's might be what happens, but I think it would just lessen the likelihood that they would do that. They'd be willing to work more with the customer and just hammer out a deal that would be beneficial for the customer and the dealership.
Thank you, Mr. Fabris. Any further committee questions for Senate Bill 62? I just have one request for Senator Olson. If you could have our LRC staff perhaps provide us similar states or surrounding states that have a lemon law for agricultural equipment, I think that'd be helpful for us to contemplate between now and Thursday morning, and perhaps, you know, bring some of that to the committee as well. There being no other individuals that wish to testify in opposition to Senate Bill 62, we're going to place that below the line for Thursday morning. Any other work for the
Tuesday?
Oh, that's right. Tuesday? Oh, I'm sorry. So we're just going to be Tuesday, I guess. Is that individual going to be present then physically on? You're here present physically today. But so it's Tuesday that you would like to appear before the committee for Senate Bill 62. Senator Olson, you're okay with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so it'll be a week from today for Senate Bill 62 below the line. Mr. Fabris, thank you very much. And you may want to also ring in on the next Tuesday morning if you're available, just in case questions come up before the committee considers final action for this bill next Tuesday morning.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Any other business before the Senate Committee on Commerce and Energy this morning?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Shurmur.
I would apologize for my cell phone going off, but I wanted to use the opportunity to highlight the wonderful organization that the Wounded Warrior Project is.
I think you've done that well.
A gentleman from Yankton, South Dakota was wounded, Corey Breest. He was an employee of mine at the time he was called up. And the highlight that he and his wife and family have brought to the organization and the good work that they do, this gave me an opportunity to bring that to the group. So thank you. I'll be glad to increase my annual donation to them in favor of whatever it is the committee decides.
All things happen for a reason, as you're articulating for us this morning. Any other business for Senate Committee on Commerce and Energy? If not, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Senator Greenfield, second by Senator Hager, all in favor?
Aye.
Commerce and Energy is adjourned until Thursday morning. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.